Thanks for calling Toyota. This is Jan.
I just adopted a new best friend, and I'm looking for a Toyota so we can make the most out of summer.
With a new RAV4, you can take your pup for a drive up the coast. You can take a Prius to the park, or you can take a Tundra to kayak at a remote lake.
One problem, Jan.
Oh?
My new best friend's a cat.
Your summer starts here, but it all ends June 3rd. Toyota, let's go places. Dealer inventory may vary. See your participating Toyota dealer for details.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome in to the DNVR Avalanche podcast. We got AJ, we got Eric, we got Rudo. Avs lose to the Winnipeg Jets 3-2. I don't know on this one. I think there were stretches of this game that were pretty good from the Avs. There were some various obvious things that were not good from the Avs, including the fact that they didn't win the game.
It's a pretty inoffensive loss, to be honest.
I'm with you on this. Let's do the 60-second rundown, and then we can get into it. First period, honestly, was pretty even. I think the Avs started out pretty well, and then it kind of balanced out. Not really a ton to talk about in this period until the last 5 seconds, where Devon Toews just does a dumb.
Dude.
He just did a dumb, and then the Avs go down 1-0. They respond by coming out in the start of the second period and laying an egg. And it's 2-0, just like that. And honestly, the Avs just were never really able to fully get back into this game. Nathan MacKinnon tried to bring him back into this one. He pulled it to 2-1 in the second period. That unfortunately goes back to 3-1. He gets him to within one again, 3-2. But it's not enough, as the third period comes up a little bit short. I think particularly the power play, a point of interest to talk about in that third period. But ultimately not enough for Colorado to unbury themselves from their own problems. Let's start here. Mikko Rantanen. We want to see more from him. I don't think he played poorly tonight, but ends up with 0 points. Had a couple of chances here and there throughout the game that he doesn't execute on, misses the net otherwise. Do we think it's getting there for him, or at what point do you just need him to be better? A minute ago, yeah.
Yeah, about 3 hours ago.
Fair enough.
Could have used him being better. I disagree with you, man. I thought he was dog shit tonight.
Okay.
He's too good of a player to have. He was fine tonight. And especially, like, I would really love to know what Jared Bednar is thinking when Nathan MacKinnon is dominating.
And they put him back together.
Yeah, they put him back together, and immediately the effectiveness of that top line drops. Rantanen, MacKinnon, Durant together, it's not going to work, man. It's never going to work. It's just not. Like, it hasn't to this point. It's not produced much. MacKinnon has a 2-point night, and it has nothing to do with his line mates. It has everything to do with the defenseman around him, and then a great individual effort on that second goal. So, you know, with Mikko Rantanen, you're gigantic. We all call him the Moose for a reason. You're big, and you're unbelievably skilled, and you just need to impose your will. You need to be a physical factor in hockey games. Hockey's a physical sport. My personal theory here is that he's managing the regular season and just trying to get to the postseason as healthy as possible. And that's there's a level of that I don't mind. But yeah. when the level is this bullshit, I'm not with it.
Yeah.
You can't flip a switch in the middle of a game like that. He needs to be at least 80% Mikko Rantanen. Because this is ridiculous. I'm sorry, man, but it's you go 8 games, whatever it is, without him scoring a goal. It's unbelievable. It's frustrating. I'm sure he's frustrated, but you don't see him. You know, the one thing that you always appreciate about Nathan MacKinnon is you watch him go through it.
Yep.
When he's not playing well, you watch him openly know he's not playing well and be frustrated and work his way through the emotional process. Hockey seems to be that man's therapy. I don't know what Mikko says because we don't watch him go through anything. Sometimes he's excited. Sometimes he's apathetic. Sometimes he's here. Sometimes he's there. I have no idea. You have no idea what planet that man is on any given day. You have no idea. And, you know, this is the same conversation that Pittsburgh Penguins fans have spent the last, like, 16 years going through with Evgeny Malkin.
Yep.
And it's a weird one to feel because you know that Mikko is he's so good.
By January 7th, he'll be balling again.
He's so
you
good.
Know it. I mean, everybody knows it. But
what's today? December 7th? It might be December 14th by the time I'm like, Mikko's back.
Yep.
Like, he's such a special and gifted player that it just may not take very long for him to get back up there. But when it's not working, oh, my God, is it not working?
Yeah, I know Mikko manages his game in the regular season, but this stretch has gone well beyond that.
Yeah, absolutely it has.
Even if I think he was better than you did tonight, he still ends up with 0 points. He still has a couple of plays on his stick that don't end up in the back of the net. And he still has some disappointing efforts with the puck.
Well, and he's taking himself out of big situations, like a 5-on-3, like a power play.
Yep.
He's standing down at the goal line. He's doing some of this, some of that. There's no way that 100% of that is on him. Some of that has to be.
We're going
to
talk about the power play later. But yeah.
He has. We talk about with Nathan MacKinnon. Sometimes he has a tendency to defend himself. Mikko Rantanen's doing a lot of that. He's defending himself, and it's just. It's the only reason it's so frustrating to watch is because he's such a world class, dominant superstar caliber player.
When he wants to be, yeah.
When he's on his when he's really on his game.
Yep.
And watching him be this level of ineffective, and also it is made worse because it seems like he's just like, yeah, all right, cool. I guess I'm just gonna go home tonight.
Yeah, they go through a phase, right? I mean, look at Edmonton. A couple weeks ago, Draisaitl, McDavid couldn't. I mean, honestly, they look like fourth line players. You know what I mean? And now they've turned it on. And again, the Oilers are winning games, right? I mean, there's when you're the best players in the world, Mikko, Mac, like there is a certain level of expectations. You know what I mean? Like that are supposed to be met. I think Mac for the last two games is meeting that. He is
and then
top
some,
end, and then some. Exactly. Well said. You know what I mean? And I was one of the ones criticizing him before that. His game was you know, he was getting a point here and there, but not dominating, not doing what he's done the last two games. I think he's been outstanding. So if I'm Mikko, I take a page out of his book, which is what? Name me one guy the last two games that was working harder on both teams than Nathan MacKinnon. There wasn't one. He was the hardest working guy on both sides. Back checking, forechecking, get on top of stuff, create stuff. You know, give me the puck. You know, I think Miko's just not engaged enough right now. And as we know, I say it all the time, he's my favorite winger in the National Hockey League. So, but right now, he's not getting any volume of chances. He's got to get more chances than that. He played 24 minutes tonight. It's not enough.
You need better.
And not the dice time. I'm talking about the volume of chances. You're not going to get out of a slump by just kind of waiting. You know, all right, boop, ba da, ba da. You have to put the working boots on. You're going to have to get going, and you have to be a dominant player. And I get it. Like again, he's getting some points here and there. It's kind of like what we were saying about Mac, like a few games ago. But right now, it's just not good enough. Yeah. It's just not good enough. And there's a reason they lost 3-2 and didn't win 4-3.
Yeah,
if you play 24 minutes a night as a forward, you can't have 0 points. If you get 0 points in 24 minutes, you're not going to continue to play 24 minutes for very long.
You need to be forechecking like a madman. You need to be doing something else in the game to make a difference. Yep. And
it's just not there.
He's not.
Yeah. Want to combine with this Cale Makar wasn't any good tonight.
Yeah.
He didn't look at ease. He looked a little tentative.
And like
he didn't look 100%.
Probably isn't. Yeah.
A guy that's returning from injury that we are like, he's probably not 100%
and,
there.
And regularly return slow from injury.
You're just giving that guy a game or two of leeway. You're like, hey, look, man.
I'm not getting
we can
on.
We can live with it. No, I'm agreeing with you. I'm just saying when you can contrast the feelings about Mikko Rantanen, there's no leeway there.
Yep.
It's like, hey, true. if you're so injured that you can't play even close to the level that is expected of you, you shouldn't be playing. Cale Makar wasn't that far away. I would agree. I mean, it's just not good enough, man.
The point I want to make is two of your best three players don't play well. It's hard to win, man.
Yeah.
100%.
You need those guys to show up for you every night.
Yeah, and on the other side, you look at the team that beats you. You get a goal out of Josh Morrissey, a goal out of Kyle Connor, and you get a great performance from your goaltender.
It's like, and you win 3-2.
Wow. This is complicated.
It's funny how hockey works like that sometimes.
Well,
despite all of that, this should have been a 0-0 game going into the first intermission.
Man.
I can't explain it. I can't explain what was going through Devontaeves' mind with 5 seconds left in that period.
I just, for a guy who makes his bones being the smartest guy on the ice at all the times, what the hell? I mean, it's so bad.
The part of it that baffles me is anything else. He could have fallen over and not played the puck, and they get out of that period. Anything but what he did.
Yeah,
I gets mean, him out of that period.
It's so close. Literally anything. I mean, he could have passed it back to Georgiev if he wanted to.
Yep.
Might have surprised him a little bit, but would have been better. He has support. He has an outlet. He's got two decisions that he can make that aren't that.
Yep.
And if he makes that play, I mean, what's the upside there? You're not getting a guy to go. You're not getting a goal in transition the other way.
There's 5 seconds left. You're not making it up the ice.
You're not. There's no upside to what he does.
Yep.
It's... For him, it's shockingly bad.
And again, I know it's the holidays, and you know it's Christmas, and it's time of giving, and but again, I mean, right? It felt a little like Christmas.
It did
tonight.
Feel like the Avs were giving out some gifts.
That's my point. Sure. It felt like Christmas tonight. I listen. Kudos to the Winnipeg Jets, like you just said. Hey, their goalie was good. You know, they were opportunistic, but. There's a lot of gifts. I mean, especially it starts with that first one. That is, I mean, again, 71 makes a nice play, Pat, you know, whatever, stopping that. Yeah. But the puck shouldn't be there. So I think you got to be aware. You got to be aware of the clock. You got to make a better play than that. That's not a good play. That is not to his level. And again, that's a Santa gift. You know what I mean? And then you're chasing the game. You know what I mean? It does, again.
I don't think.
Well, now it is.
All right.
Yes, we're back now. Hi,
chat. All right. Anyway, like I was saying,
where
it
were
was
we?
Santa. It was Christmas. Yeah. And I just feel that the no-nos, you know, you give up in the last minute, I mean, let alone 2 seconds, but first minute of a period, you don't score on your 5-on-3. We'll talk about that. But those things, if you have one of those things, it's tough to win a game. When you have 3-4, it's almost impossible to win games. So,
yeah.
I'm just being honest.
Again,
great.
As a whole, this game as a whole, I don't think the Avs played that bad.
Yeah.
You have
no
egregious errors.
Yeah, not at all, man.
That put them in a hole.
This is not the game that you light.
Burn it all down for.
Yeah. Torches.
There you go.
I was thinking of
pitchforks.
Yeah, I was like, you don't like pitchforks?
You could.
I mean,
flaming pitchforks
definitely
a good weapon.
Makes them more dangerous.
Yeah, I'm saying.
dangerous.
Does it make it more dangerous for the user as well?
Probably.
Torches are like meant for that, so there's some safety.
That fire starts creeping up the pitchfork, and you're like, oh boy.
Yeah, and this isn't like a game where you're like, the Avs were awesome, and they just got Goldie. No, it's not the case. But. To if you were trying to make the argument that they played really poorly, it's not there.
No. Don't agree.
No, no.
It's just not that game. It's not the 7-0 game. It's not the 8-2 loss. There are examples of them playing very poorly this year. This really, really isn't it.
is this a game where they made life harder than it had to be? Absolutely.
Yeah, when Eric's talking about the gift of giving over there, I mean, he's right, because you just cannot make life easy for the other opposing team and hand them goals.
Can't.
You get the first goal is just handed to them.
Total freebie.
The second goal, your goalie just needs to have.
I mean, there's a lot of problems there, but yes, it's a bad goal to give up.
I mean, it's just not a good shot. I don't care if it's from Kyle Connor.
Yep.
It's just not a good shot. It's not dangerous. It's
slow
it's
on
not,
the ice, and it beats you. Like,
eh. It's not a good goal. All the other things that led into it, it's a bad goal by your goalie.
Yep.
Does Connor Hellebuck give up a bad goal?
In this game? No. Not really.
No. Definitely not. Nathan MacKinnon breakaway and a crazy
crash the net Kiviranta in play.
Yeah. Right, one-timer in front that he gets pieces of both of them.
Yep.
So, you know, those are the only goals that he gives up. He doesn't give a free one, and you essentially lose this game 3-2.
Yep.
That's, like, the difference. That's the difference in the game. And that's not – that's a very reductive way to look at it, of course. And I'm not saying that the loss is all on Alexander Georgiev. Of course not. But – in the NHL, when you make it easy for other teams to score goals, and the other team is not doing the same, it is an uphill battle.
Yep.
And that means you have to cash on chances. They had plenty.
Totally.
This was not a
didn't
game.
Didn't execute well enough. Yeah.
This is not a game where you're like, oh, defensively, we got shut down. Oh, we've got this. Oh, we've got that. No. No. That is not the case. You could make a not very hard argument. You should have won the hockey game.
I agree.
If it
wasn't for Santa.
Outside of a few boneheaded plays and a few misfires on opportunities. Yeah. I mean,
but even go to the fourth goal. Like, you got full possession in the corner. That's a gift.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally. And I'm not saying they would have scored.
Yeah.
But they had full possession again, right. You know, with some world-class elite players. Is something going to happen? So it's a gift.
Who knows what happens?
That's my point. And I'm not saying, but that's a gift. First goal is a gift. Fourth goal is a gift. You know what I mean? And that's second goal is a gift by Georgie. That's a bad goal. So you're talking about. And then the third goal was
Malinsky.
We'll get to that. But what I'm saying is I'm just not analyzing goal by goal. I'm saying there's a lot of gifts.
Totally.
And that's, for me, it's too tough of a league, and this is too good of a team, the Winnipeg Jets, to be given gifts.
Yeah. Yep. The Jets are
a good hockey team.
They are not last year's Jets, where they got out to a really hot start and it was all nonsense. This is a team that is actually playing to its record and deserves to be where
it is. What are they, like 2 points behind the Avs? Like, they're right there, right? That's what I'm saying. That's a good team. So you can't be given gifts to a team in the National Hockey League. You can't.
And I think it's fair to say that the Avs have been playing some teams of late where they've been getting away with their B game. Winning games with their B game or getting a point out of games with their B game. You play your B game against good hockey teams, sometimes you're going to lose.
This is like a B plus for me.
I'm going to leave it at B.
Okay.
Because I think there were a few too many errors for it to be a B plus.
Okay.
But we're nitpicking at that point.
This is the difference between getting an 85 and an 88.
Yeah.
Big one.
I'm the hard ass teacher and you're the easy teacher. Got it. Okay.
I don't like the idea that I'm easy. That's not fun.
Anyway, if someone is giving you unwanted gifts, call Bacchus and Shanker at 222-2222 today. If you've been in a car accident where you were injured and not at fault, or any situation like that, whether it's at work or you're walking down the sidewalk or whatever it might be, Bacchus and Shanker has your back. You can go to the 2 number or go to coloradolaw.net to get a free consultation. And if you have a case, they will take you on and you pay them nothing up front. They don't get paid until you get paid, which will happen. They will get you paid. They've won over $1 billion for their clients in the 25 plus years they've been doing this stuff in Colorado. So get a hold of Bacchus and Shanker today at that 2 number. Bacchus and Shanker wins. And then, even if the Avs are playing bad, I see all y'all in the chat. I see y'all mad about it. I see y'all worrying about the Avs. If you're not a believer, put your money where your mouth is. Use the Circa Sportsbook and go gamble. Bet against the Avs if you think it's really that bad. Or if you're a believer in the team, you can bet on the Avs. Either way, you can download the Circa Sportsbook app at circasports.com. Get in on all of the action with Circa. And, of course, always check out the amazing Circa if you're heading to Las Vegas. and use code DNVR when you book your stay with Circa to save 20% over there. If you are gambling using the Circa Sports app, you, of course, must be 21 or older, physically located in Colorado. And if you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call or text 1-800-GAMBLER today. Second period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast.
Can we ban the bot?
Which one's the bot?
Over the bot.
Oh, X, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nathan MacKinnon. I know we touched on it a little bit already, but what you saw out of him tonight, I think, is the way back into hockey games like this.
Yeah. Just have one of the very best players in the world play like it. Yeah, I mean, Nathan MacKinnon ruled tonight.
Awesome.
And what you said goes both ways. Because one, yes, Nathan MacKinnon was awesome. Two, when you spot a team 2 goals, you're not supposed to win.
Yeah.
That's how the NHL works. It's hard to win hockey games from behind, even with this year's nonsense of the ridiculous amount of comebacks everybody has.
Yeah.
Still, most of the time, the team that gets up by 2 wins the hockey game. Sometimes life isn't that complicated.
Yeah, anecdotally, you're always looking around the NHL and being like, wow, look at all these multi-goal comebacks. And then when you look at it team by team every year, you're like, oh.
Each team had like 5 of those.
Exactly. You're like, oh, there's just not that many that happen in an NHL season.
Yep.
Just reading about Bednar's presser saying, you know, he felt they were too vanilla. You know what I mean? And I agree with that. And he goes, what we just said, the first 2 goals are gifts. Like, you can't play hockey that way. And what does it do? It goes in your hole of 0-2, yep. Right? And then to win in this league, you got to be, on most nights, at your best, right? So your goalie's got to be at his best. Your defensive core, you know, it's got to be at their best. Your forwards have to be, your elite players have to be at their best. There just wasn't enough of that tonight. Like, you know, to say, like, oh, again, Mikko wasn't at his best.
Yeah.
Mac was. Kale wasn't. Or, you know what I mean? So when that happens, it's tough to win games. And, you know.
Well, and then Devontaeves.
Yeah, not at his best tonight.
And Devontaeves, you could really just call it 1-1. Yep. For me.
He makes the nice play to set up MacKinnon.
Sick play. Very, very good play for the MacKinnon's first goal. Oh. But I'd want to go and look at his role in it, but he's also on the ice for that goal start of the second period.
Yep.
For me, I honestly don't even care about anything that happens on that play.
I do.
Other than Georgiev.
That puck should have been out, but
like, and it's just not a good enough shot for me to give a shit.
I agree. I defend Georgie all the time. I didn't like it. It's just a little soft.
I'm not disagreeing with y'all. I just think you never have that problem if the puck gets out of the zone in the first place.
And I agree. That's the truth of
every play ever.
Every goal.
There's always mistakes stacked on mistakes.
Right.
Yes, always.
And that's why you pay a goalie, is to make...
I hear you.
I'm not disagreeing. Is to make easier saves. And that is the easiest one. That's the save. There were 5 real goals scored in this game, and 4 of them, you don't put on a goalie in any way.
That one you absolutely do.
And that one you do, and that's where I'm saying I don't really know what's up with Taves on that goal. I would want to watch it.
I didn't have a big problem.
I derailed my own point by being me. And... My point I'm trying to make is that it's not...
Certainly there are bigger fish to fry.
It's not good enough when Taves also has an off night and Makar has an off night. Rantanen has an off night. It's just not good enough.
Yep. No. At what point are you moving into now half your team is having an off night?
Right. And then, you know, that's where everybody's favorite, like, oh, well, you need better depth guys. You got to have guys. And it's like, yeah, you're right. You need better. Those guys have got to do more for you. You know, a Bowen Byram has to do more for you.
Ryan Johansson.
Yeah, Ryan Johansson, the only time that I saw him all game was in the locker room after we're doing the presser, doing a scrum at his locker.
Yep.
Oh, why is your face red? Did you play? Like, give me a break with this. I'm not of the opinion that 2 Cs in the NHL need to be what Nazem Kadri was a couple years ago. That's not a 2C. That's a 1C. The guy had 87 points. Let's stop holding everyone to that standard.
Show up in games.
But my goodness, do something. We are 27?
Six.
Son of a... Are you sure?
I am sure.
Are you positive?
I make a review with that number in it after every game.
I mean, I also have write a headline.
Yeah, but I have to fucking change a whole Photoshop thing. I'm sure that that was game 26.
All right, but 26.
Yeah.
26 games into the season, and Ryan Johansson has one assist.
Yep.
What are you doing to make anybody better? Let yourself, line mates, anybody.
Yeah.
At some point, you're part of the problem.
Yep.
So when you're looking at a night when your better guys are not good enough, you need to say, okay, where's the help? You're built for other guys to do things. This is where my frustration is taking O'Connor, Logan O'Connor off that top line, who has consistently elevated every line that he's been on. Yep. Is he going to score points on the top line next to McKinnon and Duran? No, but he's going to play the game in the right way. He's going to do things in the right way. And it felt like Bednar was like, crap, we're losing. Nate and Miko, fix it.
And they did not.
That's not coaching, man. Yeah. He's worried. He's saying that they're vanilla. Buddy, you were vanilla.
Well, is it Jared Bednar that's vanilla?
And for me, that's not good enough from him. Is he putting them in a position to succeed? Because he sees a superstar having a superstar night out of Nathan in the form of Nathan McKinnon, and he gets nothing out of Miko. You can make the argument that he's just hoping that the superstar is going to pull it out of the other one in Miko, that he's going to, and it just hasn't happened. For 2 weeks, it hasn't happened.
Yeah.
So why would you put them back together in that environment, knowing especially that trio has not produced much of anything? That's your go-to?
Here's where I want to take this conversation. Speaking about vanilla, speaking about Mac and Miko together, let's face it. The most vanilla part of this game for the Avs was the power play.
Oh, dude.
And I know we're going a little out of order here, but this is just what came up. They go 0 for 4 tonight. You're down a goal early in the third period. You do a lot of good work to give yourself 50 seconds of 5-on-3 hockey. Not only do you not score on it, you don't get a shot on goal. And you're watching the same problems that have been there this whole season. A bunch of dudes standing around. Miko not even playing in a location that could be considered dangerous. McKinnon standing in his spot. The one-timer that they took on the power play in this game is so predictable that Connor Hellebuck is fully square to Nathan McKinnon when he's shooting it.
Yeah, and that guy's a monster. If he's square to you,
he's
you're
stopping
not
the puck.
Him.
Yeah. No. It's just the power play is drifting into a point where you're starting to have a conversation about something has to change.
And like moving Miko down below the goal line is not it.
No.
If you're trying to get pure playmaking out of there,
Jonathan Drouin's right there, dude.
You have Jonathan Drouin on that top unit. You have Ryan Johansson on your bench. Two guys whose best attributes is going to be passing and playmaking.
Yep.
You've taken the element of a 55 goal scorer out of a scoring position on a power play. You have more players on the ice. And what have you done with the advantage? You've neutralized your own advantage. How is this considered an acceptable thing to put on the ice? How is this considered good coaching? Ray Bennett.
It's not.
What the hell?
Well, besides the X's and O's part of it, like, again, I go back to my no-nos. Like, if you have a 5-on-3 for more than 30 seconds and you don't convert, I've been part of this league for a long time. You guys are way better than me at numbers and analytics. But I'll tell you one thing. If you don't score, you don't. For me, it's above 90%. You're not going to win the game. It's really where you get away with it. You know what I mean? Because it's such a weapon. It's just it's not every day. What did the Ducks do last game? They got their 5-on-3. Oh, they get themselves back right there, and then they're within a goal, right? And tonight, it's like you have some of the best players in the world. You have to figure it out how to and again, they have been productive because they have been scoring goals, right? And they have been, but they're frustrated.
They haven't been that productive.
But look at Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I mean,
you got Crosby, Malkin, Letang, now Carlson. Like, I think they're 0 for 40 right now or something like that. Like, it's crazy. And then you're like, really? With those players?
There are definitely teams worse off than the Avs.
No, no, no. What I'm saying is when you have elite players, you have to figure it out. Like, how – there's only one puck, right? Makar wants it. Miko wants it. Nate wants it.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, there's one puck.
Yeah.
There's one little rubber thing, look, you know?
Yeah, but there's also an approach to how you want to play and how you want to go
about
it.
Agree.
And this is where like I'm a pretty reasonable individual. If they're shooting lights out and they're coming up with scoring chances and Bucky's just outplaying them, Bucky's just outplaying them. He's an elite goaltender.
Yeah.
It is a reasonable thing to be like, this guy's we could do everything right and this guy could just steal a game. That shit didn't happen.
There's the power play.
It just didn't happen.
It has a ton of leeway for me, right? If the power play is scoring, whatever. I'm not going to question it while the puck's going in. That is what was before this last week, what the Avs power play was doing. They were getting away with garbage play because the puck was going in the net.
Yeah, and the puck, how is the puck going in? Kale shoots it. Val hits tips it.
Some stuff.
What's missing in that equation?
Val.
Yeah, exactly. And when you have no Val, you have no Landeskog, you have no Lekkonen. Those are all three guys that would be playing, depending on if they're playing, they're standing in front of the net on your top power play unit. You don't have a threat from there, so now you need one of these guys to just outshoot one of the best goaltenders in the world. Fine. Why is your best shooter, who is Mikko Rantanen,
not in a place to shoot?
Yep. And not just taken out of the equation before you even put them on the ice? You have neutered their opportunity to score. Why do that?
And that's kind of my
point,
because I will also give a power play leeway if it looks good. If they're generating quality opportunities,
totally.
Hellebuck makes a great save. Maybe you hit a post. Maybe you just don't convert the chance, but the chances are there. You say, you know what? The power play was pretty good. Maybe you get some momentum off it.
I just want to know. This is my frustration of can anybody on the planet give me a reasonable explanation for why that is the case?
No.
But I'm not arguing you. Like, I agree with you. I'm not saying the power play was good. I'm saying you don't score on your 5-on-3 and it's lackluster. You talk about vanilla. Yeah. That was a really vanilla power play. It was, you know. But what I'm trying to say is
vanilla was a different color, I think.
That's it. So, it was horseshit. but listen.
Nice.
I go back to Santa and the giveaways and this and the that, but that stuff happens in a hockey game. And I'm not saying I agree with it. I'm saying that it happened more than the Winnipeg Jets did, right? Yeah. So it's the game of mistakes, right? We all know that. And I'm not nitpicking on Taze or whatever, but those were gifts. But for me, if you ask me, what is the single item on the list of why the Avs lost, it didn't convert on the 5-on-3. For me, that's how big that is.
Look at the reeling impact.
That is it.
That's it.
Look at how it affected this third period. The Avs come out in that third period. They're playing well.
Yeah.
They get that opportunity in the 5-on-3. They don't convert or on the ensuing power play. And then that's Winnipeg locks it down for the rest of the game.
It is a momentum killer if you don't score, and it's a momentum boost for the Jets, right, or whoever kills it, it makes a big difference. So for me, yes, there was gifts. Yeah, there was a bad goal by Georgie. But I'll tell you one thing. The 5-on-3 for 45 seconds, called the timeout, rested. It was 45, right? Give and take.
Yeah.
It was above 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Plenty of time.
Yeah. It just wasn't good enough. And that is... And I know Val's not there, and I know what we're talking about.
I don't give a shit.
I don't care. You got zero shots on goal.
But somewhere, you got to have a better killer. For me, that is the 1 minute in the game that lost the game is right there.
And we're talking about free gifts and all this. Winnipeg gave you one.
That's it.
They gave Mikko Rantanen, Kale Makar, and Nathan McKinnon. Right around 50 seconds. It's somewhere in that range.
It's 47, right, I think.
Okay. We'll go with roughly 45. Roughly 45 seconds of 5-on-3 time, and you don't score it. It's hard to score in the NHL. It's hard to create chances. You have two more players on the ice than them.
And that's what you got.
And even if I can hate where Mikko Rantanen plays all day long. I can hate it. You have to create a scoring chance.
Yep.
One of those three guys has to just say, we aren't allowing this to happen.
Yep.
It was way too casual. And in a game of giving, nobody on the Avalanche in that situation took it.
Yep.
Yeah.
I felt like that was most of the night. You watched a bunch of guys who didn't want to make the play.
Yeah.
Nathan MacKinnon did. He tried. Everybody else.
He does, but even in that 5-on-3.
No, you're right. On the power play, it's not the same.
Like, I really don't want to get too far into this, but Nathan MacKinnon is not a great power play player. He's way better playing through chaos. Not very set up structure. He's very good in transition because he's very fast. He has a lot of power. Defenses are constantly shifting, and he's cutting, he's zigging, and he's zagging. There's nowhere to zig and zag on a power play. Those guys will just watch him do it. Okay, yep. Great. He's not able to create in the same way, and he's not a good enough shooter. An 11% career shooter, 10% career shooter. He's not good enough for them to run as much as they do through him. Occasionally it works, and we all feel good when it does, but it doesn't work at a high enough percentage for it to consistently do that. Yeah. And if you're going to move a guy around on your power play, it has to be him, not Mikko Rantanen.
Yep.
Mikko Rantanen has one of the 10 best one-timers in the world, and you're giving him one, two chances at it. You think Alexander Ovechkin in the... No, I'm not saying Miko's Alexander Ovechkin, but you think that Washington gives him one or two chances?
Like, they'd give him 50 if they could. To go
bombs away from over there? No. If you're going to set up and you're going to be that vanilla and you're just going to try and create one-timers, do it with your best shooter, man.
I agree.
You're not setting Mikko Rantanen up to be any more successful than he has been, regardless of how frustrated you can be about his personal play, his individual effort, his engagement, his play, his results, whatever. But your coaching isn't doing you many favors in this one specific case. I don't think it's good enough.
The reality is,
I don't think it is.
As you kind of alluded to there, the Avs' current power play systems essentially require an elite shooter. Even on those tip plays, you're talking about a Cale Makar that gets those pucks to the net and gives them a chance to get tipped.
And then a dude to tip them.
Sure. But in Miko's case, it's purely elite shooting, right?
Which is hard to do. Yeah. And Nathan, which is also hard to do.
And I love Nathan MacKinnon. He's one of the best players in the world.
Dude, he's going to be in the Hall of Fame.
He's just not an elite shooter. He's a volume shooter that scores his goals by putting 350 shots on net a year.
Yep.
He does not snipe and beat goalies that are square to him very often.
I even went back and looked at volume goal scores through the last like 15 years or whatever, just to see where his shooting percentage sat.
Mm-hmm.
It's not great.
Yeah.
It's not great. I mean, you look at the goal that he scores tonight.
Is it cutting to the middle of the ice?
Some crazy snipe? No, it's him on the breakaway beating a goalie.
Even that one, Hellebuck gets a lot of, man.
Yeah, but I mean, like, I'm not taking anything away from Mac on that. He just beats Hellebuck. But that's not one that when you're on a power play or whatever, you're not.
No one's bowling through the neutral zone, creating a rush.
Yeah,
that's not what it looks like. Yeah,
just watching him. Just watching him. Vanilla is a good enough word for me.
Sure, it's very stagnant. It's very
exactly, and I put the vanilla on equal parts to your coaching staff and your players. Same. Tonight.
The players have to go out there and skate, but you cannot watch the same thing happen 100 times over and not put some of it on the coaching.
Absolutely. And there wasn't any kind of adjustment. They didn't do anything.
Even if the problem is the coaches are telling him to do something different and they're tuning it out, that's still a problem. Like, you need to go get a coach that they're not tuning out then.
Yeah. And I mean, you are kind of reaching
that point with Ray Bennett.
Yeah, where he has been the guy for a long time. And do you remember any major adjustments that he's ever... It's always been this. I'm going to go let our elite guys... And you know what? When you have a top seven power player, whatever it is, for 5 or 6 straight years running, it's pretty hard to be like, you have to fire this guy.
Yep.
But right now, and you're coming off of a stretch, and I understand this context here. You're coming off a stretch in which your power play scored 10 games in a row. So this is not the world is ending. This is me saying in an isolated hockey game tonight, I don't think your coaching staff put your players in a position to maximize the opportunities that you had.
I agree.
Okay? I just want to stress that there's a macro here that I feel one way and a micro that I feel differently. And in the micro of tonight, it just wasn't good enough from your coaching staff. Personal opinion.
My opinion is even in the macro, the Avs power play has been kind of bad.
I think we can have a macro conversation on an off day.
Sure.
I would like to keep this way more focused on this hockey game.
That's fine.
If you want to have a super crazy macro conversation, chat is doing that for you.
We can continue with the rest of this game.
So, yeah.
But just finish on that.
Yeah,
like,
go ahead.
I'm just reading, like, Makar. He's like, I wasn't good tonight. Yeah. And I think he sees the same game we saw. And it's rare you see.
That dude knows.
You're going to say, yep. Kel Makar, I didn't have a good night. And the one thing he didn't do that he usually does is what? Forget about Val not being there to tip pucks.
He didn't get his shots through.
You know what I mean? And
four or five blocked out.
And they were blocked out, which they never get blocked. So he was the first one to own up to it. My shots didn't get through tonight. I wasn't one of the guys that was helping out. I was awful. So give and take. Don't quote me on every word, but it's exactly what he was saying. And I think we all agree with that.
Well, this is a good point.
I appreciate when Kaelin knows what's up.
I love it.
I like this point because I think it's a reminder of how I think we all feel about this game. Yeah. Does the loss suck? Are we that worried about it? No.
Yeah.
No.
Are we talking like it's the end of the world? Yes. Is it? Not even close.
Because, and they know. Like, when you see the hockey players come out in their post-game interviews and they know that effort wasn't good enough, they know they're better than that. It's not complicated to see a team that knows how to react to a loss like that and knows how to play better going forward.
And is Kel Makar going to be absolutely outstanding Saturday against Philly? Yes, he will be absolutely outstanding because he always bounces back.
Seems likely. Also, he plays pretty well against Philly historically. So
does he? Okay, well, it's
a good combination of those two things.
When he has a bad night, he comes back stronger. And that's what I love about him. So
I'm here for that take.
I was just going to go look something up, and I completely forgot what it was.
Well, while you're looking it up, we are brought to you by the fantastic Illegal Pete's. You can go get some delicious burritos over there. One of their 11 locations in Colorado, including one just a couple blocks from the DNVR bar. They also have happy hour from 3 to 8 p.m. Maybe you want to hit them up for lunch on Saturday before you come for the Avs takeover here at the bar. Could be a good time. Go check out Illegal Pete's. Get their fresh ingredients and delicious burritos today. And if you're trying to go to an Avs game, you can still get the takeover tickets, by the way. $80 for the party bus and all, the whole event. It's a great time if you want to come hang with us at an Avs game. If not, though, if you're looking for a different game, go to Game Time. And get over with the Game Time app. Join over 15 million people that use it to get their tickets. And when you sign up with code DNVR, you get $20 off your first purchase on Game Time, where you can get the best prices for tickets possible. Whatever your style is. If you're a last-minute ticket getter, you can get them that way. If you don't care where you're sitting, you can get the section selector. If you want to go to the theater, you can get that too from Game Time. It doesn't even have to be sports. They've got you covered. Use that DNVR code to get $20 off and get with Game Time today. There's a link down in the description of the video to get the app right now. Third period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast. We didn't really talk about it. We mentioned it briefly. Avs third goal they give up, that's a tough one for Sam Molinsky.
Yeah, another guy that gives
and takes for sure.
Yeah.
He just gets lost. It's,
yeah, I mean, I don't want to understate the play that he makes on the first Avalanche goal.
He recognizes the change.
It's literally impossible for it to take place without him seeing the change that the Jets are making and him aggressively moving that puck up the ice. That's the Sam Molinsky that you're like, he's ready. He's here. He can make that play at NHL speed. He reads the ice. This is where he's at his best. And then you see where they score that third goal. This is where you're nervous about playing him in a best of seven.
Yep.
And Jared Bednar has said this multiple times. We talk about it all the time. The Avalanche are making the playoffs this year. This isn't, give me a break. They're in first place in the division.
Yep.
Like, they're going to be fine. Especially in a bad division. Give me a break. So you're all of this is eight. This is an 82 game dress rehearsal for how to win in best of sevens.
Yep.
We've seen some steps forward. Wood, Colton, LOC.
Yep.
Thumbs up. Some things
not as good.
Thumbs sideways and some things thumbs down.
Yep.
One of these things that we're looking at. Sam Molinsky. How does Sam Molinsky adjust at pro speed? How can he fit into Colorado when Cale Makar is in the lineup and they don't maybe need an offensive defenseman? When, you know, when Bowen Byram is playing on a power play, how does he make himself useful? And learning on the fly like this with no Sam Girard available to them, I'm not saying it's a good thing that Sam Girard isn't around. It's not. He was off to a really good start this year.
Certainly an opportunity for Malinsky, though.
But it opens the door for Sam Malinsky in particular. At this point, it's Sam Malinsky. It's also Caleb Jones. It's also Jack Johnson, let's be honest. And you look at Sam Malinsky tonight in that play that he makes in the defensive zone. It's bad.
Yep.
It's a bad read. His goaltender literally accosts him immediately after the goal is scored because that's not a good goal. That Alexander Georgiev is happy giving up, but he never had us a chance because Sam Malinsky
is a perfect screen.
If I got up right now and stood right in front of you and was like, read chat to me. Right. That's Alexander Georgiev trying to make the save on the Morrissey goal tonight.
And it's...
Do you remember in the third period, right before, I think it's the last media timeout, Devontaeves comes rolling down the left side, takes a big slap shot, goes right over the pad, but goes right into Hellebuck's
glove. Because Hellebuck sees it.
That is the goal that Josh Morrissey scores.
Yep.
But there's no screen literally in front of him.
Well, and it's not just a, Malinsky slid across and screened him. He's standing directly in Georgiev's line of sight for a good 3 seconds.
And he's standing directly in front of him, and he's not defending anybody.
Yep.
There is a nearby body. He's not in a stick battle. He's not fighting for position. He's literally just taking space up. And Georgiev's point after the goal was scored is,
get out of the way!
You are taking up space that I need, sir!
Now, to that point, I'll tell you one thing. I'm a Georgie fan. I've said it many times. I didn't like it there. I don't like when you show your teammate. I don't like when you show the world you're pissed off at your teammate. I didn't like
it. Oh, you mean the hitting Malinsky?
Yeah, I didn't like
it. Okay, I'm with you. I thought you meant the goal.
No.
Like, what are we
doing? I don't know. Hey, listen.
We're fighting.
No, hey, listen. Yeah, I'm with we're you, all, man. Like, I'm with we're you. All pros. We're all, you know, we're all good. I didn't like it. Is it the first time I see a goaltender do that? No. I was just reading that quickly there when you were reading the ads. He did apologize. You know, he did say in the scrum, hey, I shouldn't have done that. Worry about the game. I shouldn't be showing up my guy, you know, in a nutshell. I like that he said that. I like that he owned up to it. I didn't like the fact that he did it.
Yeah.
I don't like, there's 18,000 people and then lots of people. Those leave sour grapes like in a locker room. It's not good. It's not good for camaraderie. It's not good for team.
You can only do it to a rookie, man.
But that's my point. That's my only thing. And what it does to a young guy, Malinsky knows he that's a bad play there. He knows it's a bad sequence. And so you don't need to be, and then you feel so uncomfortable and then it can affect you a little bit after. You know what I mean?
How much does it diminish him after that?
It does. And that's why I didn't like that. And if it's Devontaeves or Cale Makar, does he do that? Probably not.
No.
And so I didn't like it. But I love the fact that he had a lapse in judgment for a few seconds and then he came, you know, clean afterwards. Hey, listen, I shouldn't have done that.
I hate it as much as you guys. I'm not saying it's great to do it in a public fashion like that.
No, man. That's my problem. You did it on the ice.
But at the same time, I guarantee you Sam Malinsky won't make that mistake again.
I guarantee you at some point he will because it's hockey and things happen.
Not like that.
But
I don't.
But it's not because Georgie told him to get that.
Get caught in front of his goalie again, but the way he played that, I guarantee you he will not make that mistake.
No, but it's not because Georgie tapped him and said, get out of my way. It's because he's going
to
see it.
It's really, really easy for him to literally scream that, and the people who know that that happens are the people on the ice, which is where that should stay or in the locker room. You don't do that to your teammate. I'm not about it. I mean, it was funny because we never see anything like that.
Yeah.
And I'm a monster, but don't do that to a teammate.
These
man.
Are extremely high level athletes that are extremely competitive. I really stuff like that doesn't bother me. It happened. No. They'll be over it. They're both probably already over it.
When you say he's definitely going to be more careful. I don't know that I don't want him tiptoeing around his goalie because he's afraid of something like that. There's a meaningful psychological effect when you do something like that to a teammate in front of everybody. Yeah. There just is, and that's especially to a guy that's, I think he's in his fourth game. Yeah. What are you doing?
I don't see it that way. It lacks
all professionalism, man. All grace. It's not a good thing to do.
Is it over the top? Great. Should you do it? Probably not.
No, you shouldn't. The answer is no. You should not do that.
I don't think you need to make that big of a deal about it. I don't think it's a big deal.
I'm all for, I don't think it will be a very big deal moving forward because he owned up to it and he said.
I don't think it'll be a big deal.
He says it to the media. He's like, no, I'm not doing that. But you don't treat a teammate that way. Nathan McKinnon. You see what McKinnon does? He yeets a stick and he screams at people during practice. He's got it down.
I don't know. He screamed at Jared Bednar in a game.
Yeah, and then fell off the bench, so it turned into a cell phone.
It was amusing, but I'm just saying.
It turned into a cell phone.
They're adults. They'll be all right.
The scales of justice worked quickly in that case.
and look, you're looking at a night where, the Avs really played pretty all right. They faced a good opponent. They spotted them two goals, and that made their life extremely difficult. And they still made it a competitive hockey game.
You want numbers?
I would love numbers.
Just out of curiosity.
Certainly 5-on-5 numbers. We all know the power play was garbage.
Yeah, we've talked about it. First period, not great. Second period gets better. Third period was actually going quite well.
Until it didn't, yeah.
Yeah, and they end up giving up 5v5 in the third period. They only have a 6-5 shot advantage. For a 3-2 game, that's not good enough.
Yep.
They lose scoring chance battle 5-2. That's not, you're down by one, unacceptable. Yep. And high danger chances 2-1. So neat.
Yep.
The downside there is that you created 2 in a game that you were down by 1.
Mm-hmm.
Second period was very good. You liked all of that. There's no way they should have given up 2 goals in that period.
Yep.
As we've discussed, you betray all of this, all the data, all the good numbers, all of that stuff. That is we're talking micro macro. That is a like game macro.
Yep. On the whole, for sure.
And you betray all of that with those individual plays.
Brain dead plays.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. All of that gets betrayed. So you look at it and you're just like, nope. This is bad.
Yep.
This is bad.
Yep.
So don't do that. Because the rest of your 5-on-5 play tonight is acceptable. Yep. It's not great. It's not bad.
But it's not a game where you're looking at, oh, they were terrible.
No, it's just not that game.
No, it's a game, and the guys were talking about it, and Bednar talked about it, and I think every coach in the history of sports talk about it. When you have too many passengers, it's tough to win.
Jared Bednar's favorite phrase.
But they had too many passengers tonight. You just named a few. You know, you know, it's so easy to see. They were running at what, 60% passenger wise, maybe?
Yes.
I'd say 6 out of 10 were good, 4 out of 10 were bad players. You know, they're not on top of their game.
Yeah.
It's tough to win against a good team.
Yeah,
tough.
Well, and you can't have the coaching staff be among the passengers.
No. Yep. And look.
Got him. Take that, Ray
Bennett. A lot of hockey games are won by the team that makes less mistakes.
Oh.
You don't have to be the team that goes out there and scores a million goals and makes all these amazing plays. A lot of nights, you just got to make less mistakes than your opponent.
I agree.
And the Avs made more mistakes.
I think it's fewer mistakes.
Yeah, you're probably right.
I definitely am.
I'll take your word for it.
See? Doesn't feel good to show up a teammate.
We're good. You show me up on the shows all the time.
I mean, not like that.
Yeah, you're right. It wasn't that harsh. But all I'm saying is I wouldn't be worried about it.
You just don't do that.
If you came on a show and were like, Rudo, you suck. You need to be a better host. I'd be like, yeah, you're probably right.
Yeah, you're too chill for that.
Just to wrap things up, more mistakes. You kind of already talked about, Eric. What the hell was that from Druin with the goalie pulled?
Yeah. Oh, dude. For my money, that's the kind of mistake. He's not on that unit anymore.
Totally fair.
I do not care. Oh, well, who else are you going to put there? Anybody. Dude, put Logan O'Connor there.
Doesn't
I don't care.
Pass it to the other team's stick.
That's lazy. That's lazy.
Well, you referred to him as Shakespeare. You know what I mean? He looked more like my writing there. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't Shakespeare-level writing. You got to make a play. And again, we don't know if they would have scored, but you got to make a better play.
You don't
play
even give
that.
Your team a chance, though. Yeah. And that isn't just all 60 minutes of a hockey game is creating as many scoring chances as you can, just trying to score more than the other team.
I think the frustrating part about that with Druin is I actually thought he had played pretty well next to McKinnon for most of this game.
Sure.
But all that gets erased.
The tough play.
Yep.
Full control, it's a tough play.
Yeah, getting into Durant's game?
Yep.
I probably like 59 minutes of it.
Didn't like the last minute, yeah, that's for sure.
And for me, I'm just like, no. The answer is no. That's not good enough.
Yeah, I'm with you.
That's not good enough. You're trying to prove that you belong in a situation like that. You're getting that kind of trust. That's not good enough, man.
Yep.
There's a bottom line there, and that is just not good enough. Play Ross Colton. Play Ryan Johansson. We might notice him on the ice if they did that. Actually, I think he was actually out there. Do whatever you want to do. That's unacceptable to me. To me,
I agree.
That's like such an easy. I will never forget this. But do you remember when they cut Mikhail Maltsev? When he had he didn't get the puck zone deep.
Icing. Oh, and it was the turnover.
Yeah, he didn't get the puck deep in Tampa Bay. They scored the other way. They lost the game.
Yeah,
and they cut him on the airplane.
Yeah,
I will always remember that because sometimes you make it easy, and for me. In that situation, Jonathan Drouin made it easy.
Yep.
Made it easy for Kyle Connor. Made it easy for the coaching staff to say, nope.
Done with that.
Fair enough.
All right. We have one super chat here from Vaguely Sober who says, crappy outcome, but a sweaty boy for Sam Malinsky's first NHL point.
I hate that we did not celebrate that enough. That is actually a wonderful life accomplishment.
Absolutely.
Yep. Eric, what was your first point?
It was a goal.
Is not such a wonderful life.
No, it was a goal, but I'm old. That's like my memory, man. No, it was a goal. It was a goal in LA, tied the game up against Billy Ranford and tied it up at 2-2 in the third. They're assisted by Rick Tocchet and Pat Conacher. It was awesome.
You are old if they assisted on your goal.
Was that?
Nothing.
Have God, you I heard ya. Rubbed that in, Bill Ranford? Have you mentioned that to him over the years?
I did. Every time I see him, I'm like, hey, Billy, how you doing? Remember me? I scored my first goal. And he's like, I know.
Thanks for giving my start to my NHL career. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it was fun. You always remember your first point. Absolutely.
You know, that's a much better story than what Gabe Landeskog has for his first goal.
What was it? I don't remember. I mean, I was there.
It's in Columbus.
Yep.
And he gets it. He's trying to jump over a puck. And it glances off his like butt and goes in.
I remember that.
That's his first goal.
I was there. Yeah.
Matt Duchesne, on the other hand, played his 1,000th game last night, and his first goal was pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's a snipe in Detroit.
Yeah.
It was like his 9th game. We were all like, what's going on here? And
I remember that.
Yeah. Right over the glove. Yeah. Oh, it was beautiful, man. It was like beautiful. This.
And look, I want to close since we can give Sam Malinsky some praise.
Yes. Yeah.
For a guy like that, this is what December is for.
This is also for the Avalanche.
Yeah, exactly. For both sides, you use December to figure out, hey,
yeah,
can this guy get to a level where we can trust him on April 20th?
Yep. Yes, I agree.
Tonight, and the answer is probably not.
I don't even know if I agree, because what you like is that he doesn't have a great game. He bounces back. He gives you a big play, gets you an assist. Do you love, obviously, the play that he makes on the third goal? No. Absolutely not. But that's when you're scoring it, he's on the same plane of existence as Devontaeves.
I think it actually almost might be better because you look at that. And the big problem here is Sam Malinsky just gets lost in the systems.
Yeah.
If you give Sam Malinsky 2 more months to practice the AV systems, he's not going to get lost like that.
You can easily have a conversation with Jonathan Drouin about where he is on that play too. And I'd be willing to bet
definitely
in their video tomorrow morning.
He chases behind the net. There's a weird handoff that goes on.
I bet they have that conversation with Jonathan Drouin about like, hey, I understand you think you're doing right here, but on the same day that you're sitting in the locker room giving a public interview talking about how you're way more accustomed with the systems, you can't be quite so far away from the guy out high right there. The whole sequence is tough, and Malinsky ends up as like the bad guy, especially because of Georgiev showing him up. But Yeah.
I would say the system error is more on Malinsky than Drew in there.
Okay.
Just me, though. Anyway.
I would love Georgiev to be superhuman and find that save, though.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Sometimes you do.
Just guess, my man.
I mean, look, you give up a soft one, you'd like to see him get it back with a great one, right?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
We are brought to you by Shady Rays.
Yeah.
If you want to look into the Avs future, maybe you see doom in the fires of hell and you need the Shady Rays to protect you from that.
Some of our chat, it's so impressive to me how they already know what happens in April.
I don't. If you're the other way and you see bright sunshine, you still need your Shady Rays, though. You can get them over at ShadyRays.com. You can use code DNVR, you get two pairs or more, you get 50% off your entire order. So go check it out. Go get yourself some Shady Rays.
You should really wear them on the post-game shows because these lights are bright as hell.
They are quite bright. They're the real deal lights.
Also, it would be a fun bit.
I'm not going to wear them after a loss. Shady Rays are my cool guy sunglasses.
Dion.
Fair enough. I'm
way more about the Shady Rays after a win.
I hear you.
All right.
Anyway, we are out of here for the day. We are off tomorrow, but Saturday is our Avalanche takeover. We're going to Ball Arena. We're watching the game. You can join us. There still are a few tickets left if you want to get in on the action.
Micah?
That is Micah, yeah.
I've never noticed.
Yeah.
That's funny.
You can get in with us. If not, our pregame will be pre-recorded for Saturday. So go watch that, even if we're not technically live. And then we will have a post game, but it will be probably like an hour after the game for Saturday because we got to get back to the bar and all that stuff. So
also, special shout out to our friends from Texas who came.
Yeah, the homies
tonight.
Yes,
thank you for coming down to the bar.
Great people.
If you ever have the chance to get down to the bar, make sure you come say hi to us. We won't bite. I promise.
True.
AJ, sometime
I will just be awkward. I'm sorry, I'm an awkward human.
We're all awkward.
But yeah, if you want to come down and if you ever want to like hang out, do whatever, all you have to do is just ask somebody downstairs. They will come get one of us and
totally
come on up. You can see the studios. You know, show you around.
Yep.
Say hi. Sit on the set. Take a picture. Do whatever. You know. It's awesome. This is a thing that we love and we want to share with all of you that are here with us.
Nailed it. We are out of here for the night. Yeah. Appreciate y'all. Like and subscribe. That helps us out a ton on YouTube. Also, on sale right now. Become a diehard. $20 off.
Oh, yeah.
It's a great deal. If you're going to do it, now's the time. That's it. That's all we got. Love you. Mwah. Goodbye.
Y'all silly like the mayor.
You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Linus Ulmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between. And we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.